These guys don't know anything and don't know shit.
Welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Curiosities.com. Hit it, Nick.
Whoops.
That's good. All right. Nick, Chris, what are we burning today?
Play the mispronunciation part and that's it. Okay.
We're back to the OG candle, the Dream On candle. Mm. Teak wood, musk, leather, and sage.
Musk.
The masculine scent of antique leather-bound books on old wooden bookshelves combined with sage.
That's a good smell.
It is.
I'm a fan of that.
I'm reevaluating my stance on books thanks to this candle.
At least the smell of it. Keep them around for the scent.
Yeah.
I bought this Charlie Chaplin autobiography many years ago, and it smelled so good. I didn't want to finish
it. Was it like
reading.
An original
It
pressing?
Must have been. Yeah. It smelled great. So I get it. So
it's a thing.
If that's it, I'm loving it. Taking me back. If you want 20% off, you know what you do?
What do you do?
Curiosities. What? No. Curiosities. And you enter the promo code POTHEAD for 20% off. You could smell musky and a book. In a good way. Leathery, teak wood, all that in your house.
Smell intriguing.
Your house smells bad. It's going to smell good after this. Yeah. Nick used to have a friend who referred to his penis as his musk ox.
I do remember that. He was your friend, too.
Instantly confirmed by Nick, not even denied. Yeah, I remember that. He's probably a big fan of that candle.
He'd love it.
He would.
If he didn't already smell like it, he'd probably get one.
Curiosities.com, 20% off, 2026. We want your house to smell better. Make it happen.
That'll be the next candle. Nick's friend's dick. Just be the name of it.
On the bottom, musk.
Yeah.
Ox. Musk, ox.
Oxtail.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show.
It was nice of my malfunctioning lawnmower to do the intro for us.
Is that what it sounded like today?
It did, yeah.
Mm. The show's brought to you by patreon.com/potofthunder. And if you want to be like Yankee Doodle Andy and intro the show like I did this week, live while we were doing the program here.
Are we actually out of intros?
There wasn't another one this week, so I'm waiting for another.
People.
I don't know. So we need a...
Jesus.
Yeah.
They don't want their 15 seconds.
Yeah, get your money's worth.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Patreon.com/potofthunder. It is a perk available to all patrons at every level. You send in your intro. We'll add it to our intro music and play it on the show next week. So make it happen. Also, there's a tier for everyone. If you want to join us live as we record the episode, you could watch the video. I'm waving right now here on a Thursday evening.
They're greeting each other as of right now. You could be one of these people greeting one another.
You could be the Jeff Stroop of your town.
It's a club.
You can be the Tony Griggs of your town.
You could be.
You could be Bobby to the Root of your town. So
you could be, but thus far you're not.
Lee Travis of your town. Make it happen. Join us here on Thursdays. Patreon.com/potofthunder. You're gonna love it. Welcome to the show.
We have a guest. Oh no.
No, we don't.
Oh, that's a video.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands on my shoulders, bend your knees. It's your buddy Andy, America's little brother.
Hot dog.
Northwest Indiana Conga King. Let's do it. Grab your maracas, Chris.
Okay.
Let's do it. One, two, three. Woo! Yes. It's me, your buddy Andy. The world's nakedest man.
So naked.
Former Mr. Teen Indiana. Some call me Dream Boy. The original white guy. What was it?
That's
the other
right.
day. That,
yeah,
that might have been one.
Wasn't it the original white guy?
The original white guy.
That's good.
The internet's original bad boy. All those names. It's me.
You know what? And there's a nickname for the for our third co-host that we forgot about.
Oh my God, we did. We'll get to that. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
We gotta keep that going with consistency. There's merch possibilities there.
I forgot. I remember that there was one. You're gonna introduce him because you'll remember what it is. All right, but first, get up, Nick. You and your Denver the Dinosaur shirt. Get up,
Denver.
Nick's going to get up. He's going to do a dance for you, ladies and gentlemen. He's getting ready. He's got his cape on. He's got Denver the Last Dinosaur, the t-shirt. Here he goes. 3, 2, 1, hit it, Nick. Nick Pollock has entered the program. What did you do? What were you doing?
Well, should I say, or should I see if anyone out there can possibly guess what that was?
Yeah, watch the video feed and find out what Nick was doing on the dance this week. But I see he had these two items in his mouth as he was walking around. Two long strips of cardboard. I'm looking at them now. They're from a home run in pizza box.
Nobody needs to know where they came from.
They need to know. I'm sure that's not what it was supposed to be, but Nick's props are from Home Run In Cheese Pizza. The best frozen pizza you can get.
I think
make
it
at home.
Pretty much is, I'll be honest.
It's the winner.
Have you tried the Motor City pizzas?
No,
I had one.
Those are good.
They're good? All right. We'll take
Home Run In is legit.
You know, it's legitimately not that bad, but it's like terrifying to think this is what I'm eating right now. The Cheez-It pizza.
That sounds bad, but it's not bad.
It's actually not bad.
I didn't even know that was an item.
Yes,
yeah, I've never even heard of that.
Pizza on a giant Cheez-It crust.
Oh, okay, the crust is like a Cheez-It. Right.
I guess so.
I didn't know if they crumbled Cheez-Its on the top. No, the whole thing is a Cheez-It, huh?
The whole thing.
Whoever's in charge at Cheez-It really went crazy in the past couple of years.
They
got in
did.
Bed with Taco Bell, and then they got frozen pizzas. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, two Nicks immediate left. Nick, who is he?
The Boner City Madman himself.
That's it?
Chris L.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. Chris L's in the house. Let's see how long you hold up that middle finger.
As long as the applause goes, I think.
It's perfect. Perfect. It's needed for this month here, April of 2026, which of course is Pot of Thunder month.
Yes, it is.
Yep. Yeah,
okay. Barreling into our 14th year.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Woo! Yeah. Hey, applause for Nick's shirt, the Denver the Dinosaur shirt. Fans in the chat of your shirt,
all right,
Nick. All right. So there you go.
Never heard of that character.
Thank you, Andy, for getting it for me.
I did, didn't I? Yeah, it would have been
and
after
Andy
your time.
Also,
it was a Saturday morning cartoon, but after your time. You were probably not watching those at the time.
Yeah, it was, early 90s?
Yeah. You were not awake.
No, and I would have been. That was a Saturday morning.
Yeah,
that was definitely not awake.
Arguably one of the best television theme songs of all time. Maybe not even arguably.
It's up there.
It's fantastic.
Much better theme song than show. Not a great show.
What channel was it on?
I don't know. It was one of the CBS or something.
It was one of those Saturday morning cartoons.
Never heard of it.
Nope. How many seasons? 2, 3? Not many. It wasn't a staple, but it was all right.
Andy
memorable
song. Andy bought me an original animation cell.
I did. I got a good deal on a Denver animation cell. I had to pull the trigger, so...
You pluck it out of the trash like Bob Morales did.
Somebody probably plucked all of them out of the trash and sold. That was the first one they've sold out of thousands.
Oh, it's awesome, though.
But you got a premium one. It was a good one.
Yeah, it is.
So here we are in Pot of Thunder month in April. What do you got? You got it there? Oh, no.
Okay. Sorry.
Never mind. Tony Griggs wants to know, did you see the new Little Caesars, the 4-in-1 pizza? I have not. What is that? Anybody know? 4-in-1 pizza?
No.
Let us know, Tony. I missed it.
I'm guessing it's
whole bunch.
Is it a box where it's just a small deep, a small meat lover?
I forgot that deep deep was even a thing. I haven't heard that since we started this show. We talked about that probably every episode for the first year.
Well, because we ate it.
Yeah,
it was. There was a Little Caesars right down the street.
Yeah. From
Throat Donut.
Right.
So. Yeah. Oh, those were the days, huh?
Taking me back. The original, I think I'm going pee.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Chris sang it on the way to the bathroom that was upstairs, and then became a classic to this day, the enduring legacy of I think I'm going pee.
Still my ringtone will always be ringtone.
I guess no reason to change it.
I'm not sure I could change it. I don't know if I could figure out how to change it, but I don't want to change it. Well, there's no reason to. My phone's on silent 99% of the time.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, you guys are. You just have it buzzing, or not even that?
No, not even that.
Yeah. I
don't give a fuck. So if someone calls you, you don't know.
No,
mine will buzz, but I never hear it.
So. First of all, if it's an incoming call, I'm not interested in it, no matter who it's from. If I want to talk to somebody, I will place the call. If the call is coming my way, I didn't want to talk to that person anyway, so fuck it. And if it's important, I'll leave a voicemail and I'll call them back.
Well, all right.
Yeah,
sure. I won't call you in an emergency.
No, I wouldn't recommend it.
If I need...
it's nothing personal. It's just how I roll.
If I have a quarter and I have one phone call to make, not you.
No, I wouldn't recommend it.
Good to know.
So I'm looking at this 4-in-1 thing.
Yeah, what is that?
It's the cheese sticks, not mozzarella sticks, but like the cheesy, you know,
crazy bread shit.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, and it looks like it's just divided into fourths. You've got pepperoni on 1/4, you've got jalapeno on 1/4, yeah, and bacon on 1/4, and it's served with crazy sauce.
What is crazy sauce?
It's just marinara sauce.
Doesn't sound too crazy.
It's not.
Okay.
It's another lie by corporate America, just lying about shit.
Fair.
You couldn't insure military drivers 100 years ago. It's just a lie, and they'll just say it. Whatever they think will grab people and draw them into the business.
Who's gonna question it? All right.
Well,
so.
not gonna say I wouldn't have that, but. It's not. It's no Big Mo.
Yeah, I'm not going out of my way for that.
It's not like their Big Mo collaboration from a few years ago.
I don't know what
they had to run out and get that.
Big Mo?
Big Mo, the barbecue chef.
No. That is?
No?
I never heard of Big Mo.
It was the...
I've been called that before, but I don't know who this celebrity chef is.
It's
a barbecue guy.
Barbecue.
I vaguely remember that.
It was good. It was like brisket, pulled pork, and something else. And I thought, okay, it's Little Caesars. Who knows how good the meat's going to be? It was pretty good.
Mm. All right. The Big Mo.
I think that was his name.
All right. I believe you. So,
yeah, you don't have to research it.
I'm not.
We believe you.
I see something else.
I see two little balls of foil, and I'm hungry. So pass one over here. Hopefully there's something inside.
Who wants to eat baked treats?
Yes.
Who wants to eat baked treats with me? Oh,
look at this. Did not expect what I see in here.
Looks like something my dog coughed up.
It's
crumbling apart.
Yeah, it didn't. It's not staying together that well.
On camera, it almost looks like SpaghettiOs, but it's not. It's kind of Cheerios. It smells like peanut butter.
Cheeriosinties.com.
Cheerio.
It's what we have is one of my favorite things to have for breakfast. It's literally Cheerios, peanut butter, honey and peanuts, and it's just
you eat this for breakfast.
Melt it down and have it granola style,
just like a handful.
And I threw a little cinnamon in this one. Threw a dash of cinnamon in. So
you eat this for breakfast?
I do.
Yeah,
I love it.
No, that was said, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's good stuff. A little peanut delight, peanut butter.
It's the Aldi brand.
That's what we had.
Thank you.
Yeah, No, it's a easy.
I don't remember you ever making this.
Yeah, I couldn't here. Remember if I brought this before, but yeah, it's.
Now, are Cheerios baked? Baked cereal?
How does that say yes?
I'm going to say that they are.
They have to be.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oven baked, if you will.
I think so.
Yeah. Fried in Big Mo's barbecue sauce.
Tell you, man. Big Mo is a name to trust.
Wow. All right.
Thank
you for the delightful
treat. Sounds of delight.
Yes, definitely. Anything with peanut butter, I'm pretty much on board, so thank you.
Yeah.
This will power me through the next hour here on Pot of Thunder.
Look at that.
Let's figure out what we're going to do this week. I believe it is Chris's turn. Chris, are you going to the listener submission list this week?
I am going to go to the list.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'm going to do all three, because I'm also kind of in the mood to analyze the one song I can think of that could possibly challenge Smooth for being the greatest pop single of all time.
Wow.
Been thinking a lot about it lately, so I might handpick it, but I will do it one shot from the list just to see what turns up. But
all right,
I don't know. I'm kind of in the mood to roll with this other pick.
But. You've got something in mind. Okay, well, let's have Nick pull the lever on the sports machine. I mean the random song generator.
The Bozo Pewter. Bozo Pewter.
Pull it, Nick. All right, we pulled number 1144 here on the screen. Let me highlight this.
1144. All right. I'm on that case.
Chris, can you see that?
Yeah, I can see it. No, not in the mood for that.
Not in the mood means... Move along to the next trick. So in that case...
Yeah, the next trick's coming out of my own bag of tricks.
I wonder if it's on the list. We'll find out, I guess.
I looked. It's not.
It's not, okay.
It should be, but it's not.
Okay.
But... One of the main reasons I wanted to go off the list is because it fuels one of our most discerning listeners' favorite segment. So, hit it!
Habemus papam.
All right, before I go into the usual shtick, I just want to say that we all know that AI is the devil, right?
Yeah.
I will say that it is a, pun intended, godsend for Pope stuff, because it just, yeah, I've learned the right prompt and it gives me what I need versus pulling up a Wikipedia for the year and trying to find something. Those days are over. I will always find something for Pope stuff.
Good.
So if you don't like the segment, there you go. You're getting it every fucking episode from here on out. Okay, so here we go. Nick, you got two chances here of who was the Pope in 1144. Two possibilities.
So I get two guesses, or I just guess?
You get one guess, two possibilities.
Okay, I just have a better chance. Okay. I'm going to go with one of the Pope Gregories.
Incorrect.
Well, I might as well keep that streak alive.
All right. In 1144, the papacy was held by two different men. Pope Celestine II until March, and Pope Lucius II from March onward. Mm. They primarily struggled with the rise of a secular republic in Rome, refused to surrender papal lands to King Roger II of Sicily.
We've talked about King Roger.
And defended the church's sovereignty against the Roman Senate. A lot going on.
King Roger once again.
King Roger II. So there's more than one.
Yeah, the first King Roger felt. I can't. I'm not gonna be here forever, but my name will be.
Respect that.
He tried to trick the popes with promises of a boat ride, and they didn't fall for it.
No. So.
Nope.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
Everybody's favorite segment.
Pope stuff. All right. So, are you ready to reveal?
Oh,
the other right. potentially greatest pop song in history.
I am. Let me look up. Let me get the info up here. Any guesses while I look this up?
Well, I see in the chat. I don't want to say because I think it might be right.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It was from Jackie. Let me find it. I think Jackie got it right here. Did she get it?
No, she didn't get it. Okay. That's on the list. But. Okay.
She said, "I want it that way, Backstreet Boys." I thought maybe that was it. Because you have mentioned that on the show before.
Either that or she's talking it. About not being able to avoid Pope stuff from now on.
Or she's talking about Burger King. Isn't that their thing, too?
Yeah.
Have it your way.
Are they still doing that?
Well, their current advertising direction is acknowledging that their food was shit for years, and they're like, come try the Whopper again. It's not as shitty as it used to be. So that's their current.
Was it bad?
I don't know.
I thought it was fine. It was more of the experience that was bad.
Well, because we live in proximity of one of the worst Burger Kings in the country. Yeah. For that reason, I haven't had Burger King in a long time. But I got to admit, I'm intrigued by the advertising, because Andy will disagree with me, but in its heyday, the Whopper just destroyed any offerings from McDonald's. It wasn't even close.
I don't have any loyalty to one or the other. I like them all. I won't let the propaganda of Big Burger stop me from liking one or the other. I like all of them.
So, all right.
So I get it.
Anyway, yeah, I'm ready. I've got the info. Legitimate guess by Jackie, and I would say maybe that's the third on the list or in the top three. You could maybe juxtapose any of these three. I will say that, and we can talk about it more, but in terms of like chart position, kind of sales, not so much, but just in terms of sheer quality, this is easily on par with Smooth and I Want It That Way.
All right. Well, Bev says get on with it. It's past her bedtime. So let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called
Easy Lover.
Off of
Chinese Wall.
By the band
Philip Bailey and Phil Collins.
So Philip Bailey is this his album?
It is his album, okay, produced by Phil Collins.
I guess I never really knew that. But I'm well aware of the song. This is our second Phil Collins.
It is. Song, and this is the single that preceded the other song we've done by Phil, meaning that being Susudio.
Yes.
So this came out in 84. And Phil Collins produced this album and toward the end of the sessions said, you know, I'd like to record a song with you and we'll see how it goes. And this one surfaced.
and it'll be the single.
And became, how could it not be? Yeah. It's one of the greatest songs of all time, hands down. We might as well just do the voting now because... Yeah. I will say this, if there are any, in this room, if there are any opinions to the contrary, I will eject you immediately, and you will not be welcomed back. So the future of the show is suddenly in the balance.
Wow.
So
I'm kind of scrolling through the video, not terribly interesting. I mean, unless you wanted to do a watch-along.
No.
I don't think we need
it. Is it just like a studio thing?
It's just them goofing around.
Yeah, we don't need it. Plus, the video watch-alongs tend to mess us up on with the reels and YouTube copyrighted content. You know, it's a mess, so we don't need it.
All right. So I had no idea this album was called Chinese Wall. What does that mean?
Great Wall of China.
Great Wall of China? It's just a wall in China, not the great one?
No idea.
Chinese Wall.
Parisian Tower was the other the other possibility.
Yeah. I want to find out what Chinese Wall means, but we'll figure it out. Let's see.
So he was, I guess, still in Earth, Wind, and Fire?
I was going to ask about that. Was he on the outs? What was going on? Why did he do a solo album?
I don't know. I'm trying to find that out. But,
yeah,
I mean, Earth, Wind, and Fire, we've never done a song by them. But, I mean, it doesn't get much more... It doesn't get higher and more legendary in that style of music. The sort of funk pop sort of genre. So you got Philip Bailey that I don't know that much about him personally. I don't know, is he I know he's a lead vocalist. I don't know, is he a primary songwriter? I guess I don't know if you guys are aware.
Not really versed on it. Don't really need to. I mean, I know he's in Earth, Wind, and Fire, which is a iconic band, of course, but all I need to know is he's on this song. He gets a lifetime pass for everything. Yeah. I don't care what his role was in Earth, Wind, and Fire. He could be the janitor at the rehearsal spot. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. So Fielding Fowler says, I saw Earth, Wind, and Fire a couple years ago. May have been the best show ever. Philip was on fire.
See, there you go.
Oh, wow. So he's still with them. Okay.
He's still turning in great performances after all these years.
So you had two guys doing, venturing out from their huge established bands that they were part of at that point.
Well, Phil was pretty, you know, he was an album or two into his... solo career, but still in Genesis, sure.
Never left it, as far as I know.
No. But he was also doing, you know, he was touring as the Robert Plant's drummer in his solo career at the time, and, you know, keeping busy, doing a lot of stuff, and decided to produce this album, and came up with this gem.
Who would you say, as far as pop music goes, would be, if you had to pick one person as the face of 80s pop music, who was everywhere and highly successful?
Wouldn't it be Michael Jackson? I don't know.
I mean, it would be Michael Jackson, but Phil Collins is in the conversation, right?
He's in the conversation, but... But
I mean, it is Michael Jackson, yes.
Right, but what we talked about on the Sussudio episode is his mega popularity just didn't seem to mesh with his image. Just his everyman image was like, you know, I was high school age, early college age, and like, you know, people my age were flocking to Phil Collins concerts. And it's like, he looks like our dad. Why would anybody... rush to go see him? It's because, and we talk about this, the material was just that good.
Yes.
Yeah.
The material was that good, and he had, he's always had a sort of a wink and a smile about him. Kind of not really afraid to look a little silly every so often.
Sure. Yeah. In on the joke.
Goofing around a bit.
If you will. Yeah. But, you know, an immense talent. Nobody, yeah, you can't take absolutely. That away from him. But it was just he didn't seem to, you know, the whole thing about the MTV era was just like people who allegedly artists who looked like Phil Collins were pushed to the side because artists who looked like Duran Duran or Michael Jackson or Madonna or Wham or all Billy these guys Idol. Yeah, that looked the part were you know, the medium of video music was made for them, and guys like Phil Collins, who didn't have a visual image really, were allegedly shoved out of the way, but not in his case.
No.
He was is bigger than ever in the 80s. So, you know, defied a lot of conventional wisdom in terms of, you know, what stardom is supposed to be based on.
Tony, or I'm sorry, it was Jackie. Jackie said Madonna was her pick for another one.
Yeah, so can't argue with that either.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But it is funny, though, that you can't say Phil Collins is not a nominee for that title.
Oh, no.
And it's funny because he's well, I guess Michael Jackson was, too. Had fame in the 70s and made it work even more so. Yeah. In the MTV era.
When you thought maybe, who knows, it might be the end here.
Yeah.
Pivoting. Taking a risk. Going out on your own. You never know how it's going to work.
It is. It's funny. And I don't know. I was very young during that era, so I don't know what the opinions were. But I would almost think that some people are like, oh, these are dinosaurs. Like, what's ZZ Top doing on MTV? You know, they were famous 10 years ago.
What the?
Well, Heart, Scorpions. Exactly. I mean, we've talked about it, but, you know, ZZ Top came out with the Hot Rods and the Hot Chicks. I mean,
and the Hot Beards.
I mean, the band itself was kind of an afterthought, although they were, you know, interesting characters on the screen. But, it's Phil Collins just kind of defied conventional wisdom in terms of what it took to be a superstar in the 80s, but you know, that's neither here nor there when you're talking about material that's as strong as the song that we're about to consider on this episode. I mean, who cares? You could look like fucking Rocky Dennis and you'd still be a rock star if you put out a song like this.
So how did this song get on your radar? Was it MTV, radio? Tell me about you first coming across this song.
It was probably a combination of both. I think back in the day, it kind of came at you simultaneously. I mean, you know, terrestrial radio or whatever they call it, broadcast radio, still a thing, you know. Didn't have satellite, didn't have streaming services or anything like that. But of course, you're always watching MTV. And
Bobby Roode says you were shopping at a grocery store. That'd be now, not back then.
This
was not a then.
This
grocery store or in an elevator.
Back then, this would have been at the high school dance.
Yeah. Now you might hear it at your grocery stores.
Yeah, you would for sure.
But.
And you'd be jamming.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens to us as we get older, right? Why are they playing this here?
Then why am I? Oh no. Why am I digging it completely?
Oh no! It happened.
Yeah. So, I would say either or. I mean, you know, like I said, it came at you simultaneously from both mediums. So it's not like there was a delay from one to the other. It was available on either one, and just you know, instant, just. Over the top enjoyment of this song. This is a classic.
Did you like it right away?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, some people don't just based on.
No, this was not a grower.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, something that I needed to peel away the layers of the onion to get to the good stuff. This is just grabs you immediately, everything about it.
Mick, what do you think?
I think I'm just ready to get into it, actually, because I've got a few thoughts, but it would make more sense to say it during the listening of the song. So,
well then, let's take a quick commercial break.
What kind of commercial?
Probably whatever this peanut delight concoction is that you made today.
What did you think?
It was good. I ate it all right away.
Is that something you would eat for breakfast, like kind of on the go, maybe at your desk?
I could see that eating it. When I get to work, eating it at the desk, I could do that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's the move right there.
Yeah. All right, quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Easy Lover.
My goodness. So
that's one thing about this song that I've always noticed. It always sounds kind of hot, right? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it is a bit.
I remember, Phil, close your ears. I illegally downloaded this song from Napster many years ago, and I thought, oh, this is a bad version. It's kind of peaking the whole time. Like, it's in the red. Got another version, same thing. And then I realized, no, that's just how it is. This song's just kind of hot.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little bright, a little hot.
Yeah.
Well, and it punches you right in the face right off the bat. There's no easing into this one. It's just a sonic, you know, right cross to the jaw.
Now, and, I'm guessing, do we have an electronic kit or a drum machine on this, or is this actual acoustic drums?
No, these would be acoustic drums, okay. I would say.
Because I mean,
99.9% sure of that.
That initial just that sounds like a real drum kit to me.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, Phil was, as we know in Genesis, but just in general with the iconic drum fill on in the Air Tonight. Mm-hmm. The guy was a heavy hitter. That was another thing. You look at him, it's like, this guy makes a drum set sound like cannons. How do you equate the two? It's just his visual image just didn't mesh with his output, but
it's
why Robert Plant had him in his solo band. That's why they had him on drums for the Zeppelin reunion at Live Aid,
which was not that bad.
It was not.
I watched it fairly recently. There's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it goes back to what we talked about last week. The sacred cow of John Bonham. Somebody showing the cojones to get on that drum stool and fill in for him. That's a tough gig, man.
I just don't get, just watching it fairly recently, I don't get the belly aching. The 40 years of belly aching about it. There's nothing wrong with it.
40 years of belly aching.
That's what it is.
It is. Well, again, it's part sacred cow and part just people looking for excuses to get worked up about stuff.
I guess. Phil Collins is one of those guys that I think, well, most people know that he's a drummer. They might not know just how good a drummer. Hmm. I mean, there are those musicians where they're known for something, or just singers, and you're like, you see a video now of Kenny Rogers playing a stand-up double bass, and you're like, okay, he's awesome at that too.
Really?
Sure, yeah.
Then you see Kenny Rogers pump faking Michael Jordan and making a three.
And then you see that video.
And you're like, wait, how come these guys could do everything back then?
How come Kenny Rogers, not only did he have the perfect facial and top of head hair.
Yeah, right.
And an incredible voice and hit after hit. He honestly, Michael Jordan almost fell because of what Kenny Rogers did to him.
Yeah,
and then he's playing, Chris? And then he's playing like in a jazz trio, playing a stand-up bass. It's like, okay, sure, just do everything.
Some people are like that, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dusty Rhodes versus Kenny Rogers on the court?
We have to get AI.
Who you got?
To make this happen.
Can AI make a? I mean, you know, you can run simulated stats like that. AI can do that.
Maybe we can do it during the show and report back at the end.
Okay.
All right, back to the fills. Anything about who's playing in his band?
I'm looking it up right now.
I'm pretty confident the guitarist is Daryl Sturmer, who is Genesis's stage guitarist, Phil's solo band guitarist, who is given a wonderful solo spotlight in this song. That's another thing I like about this song. Huge pop hit with an awesome guitar solo.
Yeah.
That's a rarity.
So he replaced Steve Hackett in 77 when he left Genesis.
Yeah, I mean, he replaced him as stage guitarist. After Hackett and Gabriel left, they just essentially became a trio in terms of what the, you know, who was credited on the
band members are. Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I saw Genesis mid-80s amazing concert.
Really?
From all aspects of it. Visual, light show, quality of sound, performances. I mean, they had the, you know, Phil had his drum set alongside Chester Thompson's, the stage drummer. And when they were both playing together, it was amazing. It was,
Locked in, huh?
Yeah, oh, no. Incredible. Amazing musicians.
Oh, I'm looking at the bass player is Nathan East.
Who's that?
Basically, he's done everything.
I was going to say, it sounds like a ringer, just the way listening to this.
Who is it?
Nathan East.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a co-writer on this, but he played in Clapton's solo band and, yeah, session guy.
Raised Catholic, more Pope stuff, just there in case anybody's wondering. I mean, yeah, the people he's worked with, it's like just... Name anybody who's enormous, and he's pretty much done it. So
one of the top three on-call session guys.
Yeah.
Incredible musician. So top shelf all the way.
British guy?
No. American Negro.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Jackie said what I was just about to say before we went on a tangent, but... the blending of these two voices, how perfect is it so far of what we've heard? I mean,
yeah,
is there anything better than when two voices just
Phil Collins sound so great did that, together? Phil Collins did that with Peter Gabriel up until, 1975? Mm-hmm. He basically doubled just about all the live vocals of stuff that I've seen. Not every single part of every single song, but... He doubled his vocals quite a bit.
Yeah, but it couldn't have sounded as good as this. Peter Gabriel Philip Bailey.
As far as it syncing up and making perfect sense, yeah. I mean, it's different. Yes, but
technically,
yeah.
Sure, but sonically, this has got to be better than that. Peter Gabriel is not the greatest singer, let's admit it.
Peter Gabriel has a unique rasp to his voice.
Right, but it's not as pleasing a voice as Philip Bailey's. In no universe is anybody saying that Peter Gabriel...
I think they are. I'm telling you what I've read and heard. People who like Peter Gabriel think he's the greatest singer that's ever been on the planet.
They're wrong. There you go.
I mean, it's different. Peter Gabriel, Philip Bailey, different type of singing, but both heavy hitters, and Phil Collins blended his voice with both of them very successfully.
Oh, Bobby Root's taking exception to what you're saying.
How so?
Peter Gabriel is a phenomenal singer.
The sound of his voice is like fingernails on the chalkboard. He's not... Get out of here with that. Okay, I give it to you. He's got a unique voice, okay? And people can say, sure, they like it, but in no universe is he on... Philip Bailey's level, period.
I don't know. I think he cuts through a bit more.
It's not about cutting through. It's about being pleasing to the ear.
But that's
it's not when it comes out of Peter Gabriel.
I agree with Chris. I don't like Peter Gabriel's voice. It bothers me, even though he's probably technically sound as far as pitch or whatever. But I just something about the tone of it. It's unsettling.
What's
to
next?
Me.
Are you going? Are people going to say that Lemmy is a better singer than Peter Gabriel or Peter
Philip Bailey?
The answer is no. In no universe is that a true statement. We all love Lemmy in his context. People love his vocals in that context, but you want to compare the two? Forget it.
Fielding Fowler says, Philip Bailey pleases more people than Peter Gabriel, sonically and sexually.
Well, that's stating the obvious.
I don't know, man. You're talking about the soundtracks to Romantic Encounters?
That's what it sounds like.
I don't know, man.
You think Peter Gabriel's
thinking,
on there?
I'm thinking a lot of people had put on In Your Eyes. I'm just saying.
It probably did happen.
I'm thinking a lot of couples probably put that on.
You know, I knew a guy who used to do a magic trick to Peter Gabriel.
Right.
So. He's been on the show.
Yep.
He's going
to
come back.
Can he make the song disappear? I'd pay to see that. Make it disappear forever. Cut its head off or cut it in half.
All right. Let's keep going. Before you know it, you'll be on your knees.
What a groove they got going.
Yeah, they do.
I was going to say, sounds like something that like Steve Lukather would have been involved with like the single note kind of guitar groove during the verse.
Well, yeah.
Instead of simply playing the chords.
Yeah, and it's just like that's what session guys do. They come up with these parts that are perfect, and it's not necessarily conventional, but it all works together, but... Yeah, this is a band that this is a definition of groove and pocket playing. If you want to know what the definition of those two things are, just listen to this song for the whole thing. It's like something to aspire to from a musical standpoint.
Does Philip Bailey typically sing in falsetto? Like, is that his main thing?
I don't know a damn thing about Philip.
Nobody
Bailey.
Does.
I mean, is funny, right?
I don't need to know anything other than he performed on this and therefore is untouchable.
I mean, I'm guessing he's the falsetto in the...
These guys don't know anything and don't know shit.
We don't about true. Philip Bailey.
That's
and I
absolutely
admit that.
True. But the song September has, you know, the chorus is famous with that falsetto... Yeah, I'm guessing that's Philip Bailey.
Probably.
Yeah, I would
imagine.
Is that
him singing the verse, non-falsetto? I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'm just curious because, you know, we talked about Barry Gibb a few weeks ago. Doesn't always sing falsetto, but primarily known for his falsetto. And I'm just thinking, is Philip Bailey in that category as well?
Maybe we'll probably find out.
I mean, he's absolutely nailing it in the falsetto here.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that he just decided to do falsetto during his solo career. That wouldn't it would surprise me if he was like a bass or a tenor singer and then went falsetto just to flex in a solo album. I don't know. But again, I don't know. Yeah, I don't care either.
I'd be curious to hear this album, just to hear.
You should get it on vinyl.
I might
Chinese check, Wall.
I might check it out. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I got that Chubby Checker album on vinyl recently.
How is it?
That's a great album.
Yeah,
it absolutely is. Gotta own it. I'm telling everybody. You gotta have it.
See, that was a nice gem we discovered.
Yeah, it's a good album, man. Not a bad song on it.
One of the top falsetto voices of the 1970s.
Okay.
So it must have been his thing. I'm sure it wasn't what he was doing constantly, but he went up there.
He went up there and stayed there in the 80s at least.
Yeah.
Whether he's still doing it, I don't know, but...
Yeah.
By all accounts, he is. Someone in the chat seen them recently.
Yeah, Bobby Roode said Philip Bailey handled the high stuff. Maurice White did the rest. So there you go. They had... couple vocalists in different ranges working together.
It's that style of music, that funk, whatever. I think Earth, Wind & Fire gets into fusion a bit, but but that kind of 70s funk thing. It's funny how falsetto really works for that style of music, but other style of music you don't really hear it as much. It latched on to that for some reason. Like, you don't hear a lot of country songs in falsetto.
Yeah, you don't. It's not there.
That's the formula, I guess.
There it is. All right, let's see what these fills are doing. Leave you when they save you. Better forget it. Oh, you'll regret it. No, you'll never change it. So leave it, leave it. Get out quick, cause Tien is believing. It's kind of funny. There's almost like an Asian vibe to that part of the song with that keyboard in there.
Yeah,
like it's got, I don't know what the tones are.
It's the Chinese wall.
It's the Chinese wall. There must be elements throughout the album. Who knew? I have no idea, but I always thought
I never noticed that before, but yeah, it's there.
Yeah, just the keyboard part.
There was a lot of that in the 80s, though.
Yeah, people love that stuff. Sprinkling international music vibes into pop music.
Mr. Mao, tear down this wall? No, that didn't happen.
But they were also,
this Chinese wall.
If they were using Roland equipment, it was all built in Japan, and they were just whatever sounds were in the keyboard, if they found one they liked, they used it.
Yeah.
Well, this was part of the Chinese wall of sound. That was the production method here.
Yep. I'm trying to find out what this is.
Far as instrumentation?
No, just I guess it's an expression. I don't know what that
Chinese
means.
Wall?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's something nasty. Is it no. Dirty?
No.
Okay. Because everything is.
Oh, that's when that you thing find out when you take a crap. What? What are you talking about?
When you find out there's another meaning. Oh, okay. What is it?
Yeah.
What disgusting thing does it mean?
It's that thing when you take a crap. That's how it always starts, and then it gets worse from there. What are you talking about?
It gets worse from there.
Who's ever done this?
Did you hear about this thing called the smoking lawnmower?
How does it start?
Well,
you take a crap.
Yeah. It always comes back to defecating, too. It does. Usually that factors into it somehow.
It's, the polka dance.
Mm-hmm.
Two things we keep talking about in this episode are directly related to it, but I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still clueless about
it. Somebody might figure it out.
I think it was eating paper. I don't know what that was. All right, back to the fills.
Another thing, there are three distinct parts in this. There's the chorus, and then there are two verse sections, basically. Like the Better Forget It portion, then the Chinese or Asian-sounding portion. So there's three distinct sections going on that, is something we talk about all the time. Is the arrangement of this song is very unique and outstanding, in my opinion.
What do you think, Nick?
It is an interestingly arranged song, and every single segment sounds to me like it could have been a hook for its own song. It sounds to me like they just kind of grabbed, like, I don't know this, of course, but it sounds like it could be one of those fragmented writing session things where it's like, I've got this part that's good, and I've got this part that's good, but it's a different song. It's like, no, put them together.
Yep. Entirely possible.
Because there's really not, okay, so you've got some songs where, like this, where every part is memorable and enjoyable. You've got some songs where especially in the 80s, to my ears, you've got some songs where you know about 5 seconds of it, and most people don't know how the rest of the song goes. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I just died in your arms tonight. I know that
there
line.
There are songs like that, yeah.
I know that line and the line after it. That's it.
Slow Ride is one I always think about.
We Built This City.
The rest of it.
Everybody knows that chorus.
Yeah.
The verse is one of the most forgettable.
Well, somehow that's become an iconic song. Don't ask me how it is,
but I don't get the verse.
You don't, but people, it's become...
I don't think anybody knows the verse.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I'm going to throw down that gauntlet.
I think people... I think somehow that's become an iconic, lovable song where it was... When it came out in the 80s, it was reviled, and rightly so. But people love it. Some people love it.
But I think the 80s were... I think that's the peak of that type of song. You get about 5 to 10 seconds of something that's dynamite.
That's all you
need.
And
nobody can remember the rest. And it didn't matter. It was a hit.
It's good enough.
Yeah.
People pick it at karaoke and have no idea what's going on after the one part they start, know.
Hold the mic out to the crowd, yeah. And you won't hear anything coming back at you. Nobody knows it.
All right. Here we go. I know Anna. Before you know it, you'll be on your knees. She's an easy lover. She'll take your heart, but you won't feel it. She's like no other, and I'm just trying to make you see. You're the one that wants to hold her, hold her and control her. Better forget it, you'll never get it. Who's to say that there's no other till she finds another?
You know, we haven't talked at all about the lyrics. I guess there's not that much to really get into.
She's going to break your heart?
Yeah, just basically a girl that's you're being warned about.
Yeah.
Don't get involved.
She's trouble.
Which is, you know, not anything new in pop music. It's not anything original in pop music subject-wise, but... Maybe it's just the melody and the way it's being sung. It all works. But lyrically, there's really not anything here that's unique, I would say, right?
No, it's more the melody and the performances. It's not... There's no deep lyrical meaning. It's just like, you know... Yeah, you'll get drawn into this woman's orbit, and it won't be too much work for you, but don't get too attached because she's just going to move on from you pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So essentially what that's the long and short of it right there. So comes a fourth section. Well, actually, it harkens back to the intro section. Here comes the solo.
You guys think
tastefully done?
Oh, that's awesome.
You can tell it's someone who is a studio professional.
Mm-hmm.
Studio professional, but also the stage guitarist for Genesis. Okay, you have to have your shit together, sure, to fill that role.
Absolutely. It that's the sort of playing that it sounds like. It doesn't sound like you're bringing in a rough around the edges rock star, you know, like an Ace Frehley type, where there's technical ability but a ton of personality.
Right.
This is more like the technical ability, I would
say. And sometimes, and the reverse is true, where the guy can kill it in the studio, but you don't necessarily want him on stage because either he can't perform under that kind of pressure, or he's not visually exciting or anything.
Yeah.
Daryl Sturmer checks both boxes, you know? Again, outstanding player, killed it on stage with Genesis, killed it in the studio with Phil Collins and with this project. Just all around great musician.
Was he still with them up until that last tour?
A
couple years ago?
I do not know, but I would be surprised if he wasn't. He was just like, you know, joined at the hip with Phil Collins from the second they linked up. When he replaced Steve Hackett, they've been, you know, partners ever since, as far as I know. I think Chester Thompson wasn't involved just because I think he just got too old. I think he's still alive, but I don't know. I'm not sure. But yeah, they're Apex, a five-piece live version of Genesis. Tony Banks, Mike Rutherford, Daryl Sturmer, Phil Collins, Chester Thompson. What a fucking juggernaut they were. And they were churning out fucking hit after hit.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
throughout the 80s.
Yeah, that was the Abacab era.
Yeah, and after the self-titled album, which is the one I saw them on, and then Invisible Touch. I mean, it just...
it's one of Andy's jams.
I was going to say, I don't know any of those songs, and then you said that one. I'm like, yep, I know that one. Okay. Absolutely. So they had hit... They pretty much abandoned the progressive weird Peter Gabriel stuff. They got more into like, we're in it to make hits now.
I think Invisible Touch was the first album where they didn't have any of that stuff on there. The Abacab and the self-titled album, I think, had like longer, at least one longer piece on each of them.
They would throw stuff in there like Turn It On Again. It's in like 13/4 time, the verse. Just an extra beat at the end that you don't really notice.
Yeah.
Like they seem like they liked to be sticking stuff like that in there still, even though it was very accessible music. And from live stuff that I've looked up and listened to, it looks like from... I don't know if it was every tour, but they would revisit stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
They would throw in something from the 70s, something a bit, I don't know, maybe just a section of a song, something like that, that was a little proggy.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw them, they definitely had a whole portion of the set was devoted to longer progressive pieces, but, you know, the big hit off that album was that That's All song. Remember that one?
I'd have to hear that.
It's basically, it's, you know, a whimsical pop single, and I'm sure that was in the set, and then they did probably The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, just mixed up for the whole thing, and, you know, just everything everything Phil Collins was involved in the 80s was a giant fucking hit.
Yeah, and this song in particular... If you would have, like I said before, I wasn't sure whose album this was on. If you would have asked me, I would have said, oh, it's a Phil Collins album, I'm sure, right? And he had Philip Bailey come and guest on it. Philip Bailey's falsetto is perfect. It sounds really great. Mm-hmm. But which voice is more memorable? It's going to be Phil Collins.
You think it sounds like he's the lead?
Sounds to me like he's the lead guy, yeah.
Well, especially, we're getting here to the end, when he cuts loose, you know, during the ride-out portion, really, you know, putting his foot on the gas pedal. I would agree with you on that, yes.
Gosh, I'm dying to say what my polka thing was from. It's just,
someone has to guess.
Anyway.
Home Run and Pizza.
They're both cutting loose section. I downplayed Mr. Bailey's contribution, but they're basically dueling at this point, which is great, you know.
Yeah.
Man, like, he gets up there. Well, they both get up there.
Yeah.
Both very capable of high register stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I gave Phil Collins the respect he deserves throughout my life. I think it was what Chris said, where you kind of thought, this guy just looks like a dad or whatever.
You know,
he's probably good. His songs are big, but he's not my guy. But he had a million great songs, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Everything he touched in the 80s was a giant fucking success.
And I almost like him more.
Except the Live Aid performance, which was unfairly chastised for.
Which I still think is nonsense.
It is nonsense. You know? Plus, that's a tough fucking... He had the balls to fucking... step up and do it.
Was it not good, or is it
no,
just
it was fine.
It was perfectly fine. I thought, okay, like I haven't really given it much attention, so I thought I'm gonna listen to the whole set.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Yeah, just, I thought like do they have to stop the song at some point? Like, what was this disaster that happened?
Nothing at all, huh?
Nothing.
It was unfairly chastised.
40 years of
it.
Belly aching.
Yeah. It was just the idea that it was sacred to
it is,
sit
yes.
on the throne.
That's exactly it, man. It's like, you know, you step in for an icon like that. But, it, you know, kind of in a similar fashion, you know, maybe it's just because of the hippie vibes of their fan base, but... John Mayer did the same thing, fucking basically stepping into the Jerry Garcia role.
Yeah.
Say what you want about John Mayer, say what you want about the Grateful Dead, whatever. You have to acknowledge the fucking church bells it takes to step into that role and do that. You got to tip your hat to the guy. And
for sure. And he's extremely capable.
Yeah, I mean...
Better than capable.
There's, you know, in general, he was you know, accepted in that role. Although, you know, I've some friends of mine are some, like, legit deadheads, and they've got issues with how he approached it. But he also came in and did it his way, which I think the rest of the band wanted him to do.
I'm sure.
Did what they asked him to
do. Well, and I don't know, obviously, I don't know that much about Jerry Garcia, but I would think if he were playing in a different band, guesting or filling in, I would imagine he would be Jerry Garcia.
You would think.
Right? Yes. He would be Jerry Garcia in that band, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
But the point is, Phil had the balls to sit on that drum throne with Led Zeppelin at one of the highest profile gigs of the entire decade, if not fucking half century. You got to tip your hat to the guy and put the fucking belly aching, as Nick so accurately puts it.
That's what it is.
It is. You're right. I 100% agree. Unfairly chastised for that. It was fine.
All right, let's hear these two guys finish it off. There it is.
There it was.
Yes. Easy Lover. 1984, huh?
Yeah, I thought it was... I was surprised to see that it was so early in the decade. I thought it would seem to remember it was, like, later, but... What a year 84 was, man. The fucking Purple Rain, Rebel Yell, this. I mean... Yeah, the people who love the 80s, they're justified in that. Amazing stuff came out
in the 80s, sure.
Throughout the decade.
Well, it's time to vote. Sweet Surrender, Kick in the Crotch. Chris, you first.
Oh, yeah, Sweetest Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
One of the greatest pop songs of all time. Crank the shit out of it in the car when it comes up. This is one. It's another one. I under no circumstance would I ever skip this song. Would never happen. Will never happen. It's a masterpiece. From the performances, the arrangements, to just the combination of people involved here. Everything lining up. Pop perfection right here.
Nick?
Yeah, you gotta give it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
Yeah, it's, as Chris said, it is pop perfection. If you don't like 80s pop, then you don't. But if you do, then you like this. I have a feeling. I can't imagine there's anyone who's into 80s music that... wouldn't like this song. I mean, it's a prime example of what was going on and what was popular. So.
All right, my turn. Sweet Surrender, of course.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
I'm with you guys. Wasn't familiar with this song when it came out. Obviously, I was a kid, but it wasn't something that was, you know, we didn't have a copy of it or whatever, but I heard this many years later. From two family friends of ours, a couple of brothers, Joe and Rich, who I'm sure they're listening right now, hopefully. This is right up their alley, but this is a song those guys always loved, and they were very enthusiastic.
In between
about
Air
it.
Supply songs, yeah. This one snuck in for them.
Yep, so great memories of that, of, you know, listening to this with those guys, and I'm sure they're listening now. So, hey, guys, but thank you for that. Great song. It's in the category, like Chris said, of arguably, can you write a better song? I don't know if you can. This could be the best song ever written. I don't know. I mean, if it is, if it's your best song ever written, if you say that, you think it is, I would say, okay. I'm not going to say, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, all
like
right.
You can't think of something in the same vein that you would say is better.
Well, maybe you could, but I'm saying it's a valid consideration for, you know, okay, that's your vibe, and that, yeah, that's as good right. as it gets. That's a valid one. You know, like when people talk about athletes being the greatest ever or whatever, you're like, okay, that's your favorite guy of all time, sure, okay, you get it. But sometimes someone has some off the wall thing that doesn't make any damn sense, but yeah.
Well, but
this is in the conversation.
Like, here's one that just, you know, if you said Bridge Over Troubled Water is the greatest song ever written, nobody would question that. Nobody could possibly question that.
Yeah, you say, yeah, even if it's not your favorite, you say, okay.
Right, you have to, yes, you have to, we've talked about this on the show before, at some point you have to acknowledge greatness, and like, Bridge Over Troubled Water might seem more legit because it's more serious, and
yeah,
this and that, and this is more like, upbeat, whimsical, you know, it's not as deep, obviously, but that shouldn't disqualify it from the conversation.
There you go. All right.
Did I say something funny? You were laughing there.
I was looking at the chat and seeing the nonsense people are saying. I'm just ignoring it. Some disagreements. Yeah. Basically what you're saying, and then I look, and I'll just say one thing, and then I see Bobby Root say, I question it when you say you can't question it. So there you go.
Well, he's jaded. He works in a fucking grocery store. He hears it 50 times a day. I don't think it would I could hear it 50 times a day and be perfectly fine with it. So,
all right.
Of course, he was also praising Peter Gabriel as a vocalist earlier in the chat, so his input means nothing. His credibility went out the window with that line of discussion.
All right, look where we found ourselves.
All right, Hammond! I got a question for you.
Paul Stanley wants to know if Easy Lover is a rock and roll boner classic, as voted by the three rock and roll boners on today's program.
Paul should attempt this in Soul Station.
Yeah.
Destroy his voice again, but
yeah, I don't know.
But it is in 1984 he could have gone down this road.
He was in his prime right around this time.
Yeah.
Crazy Nights, as far as his sheer vocal ability, probably the pinnacle, right?
I would say so.
My Way.
I mean, that's just outrageous how high he gets in there.
It's not a great song, but just the sheer performance. You know, the song is just a vocal flex on his part. And
yeah.
He rose to the occasion.
And the inside story we heard from Chris Jericho was that Paul told him it was at that time. He wasn't, I don't know if he's bragging or not. He's basically saying, I can't do it now. But at that time, it was effortless for him to just bang those out.
It's impressive. You got to hand it to, again, you have to tip your hat at some point to undisputable, outstanding performances.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Whether or not you like the context, you have to acknowledge greatness when it comes your way.
Well, my vote is in.
Yep, mine as well.
Nick's debating. Nick.
Mine as well.
Me, Nick, Andy?
Yes, let's do it that way.
All right.
Right.
You ready? You only need one sound clip here. Otherwise, you're out. Ready?
Yes.
Rock.
Roll.
Boner.
It's a great song. It's a great song. It is of its era. It is I'd say a standout from the era. I don't know what this charted, but I'm guessing very high.
Number one. I don't know.
It actually didn't make it to number one. It was number two. Yeah. What was the fucking song that kept it out of number one? I was looking at it earlier.
In the U.S., number two. Yeah, that's correct. Behind I Want to Know What Love Is.
That's it. Mm. Fucking Foreigner.
I would have guessed this song would have been number one over that song.
Yeah. Which would you rather listen to, this or I Want to Know What Love Is?
This a thousand times in a row.
Thank you. I want to know what love is. I'm sure it comes on at Roots grocery store as often as Easy Lover, if not more. Come on now. What's better? Easy Lover.
Another song easily. That I'm sure many couples have put on the record player to set the mood.
Want
to
know what love is?
Yeah.
I guess so. Maybe that's what was happening in the 80s, huh? People were doing that back then.
Oh, for sure.
Putting on music.
Mood music.
And getting after it.
I don't know if that's still a thing, but I'm sure.
Putting on mood music?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Is it still a thing?
I would hate to think that that's gone by the wayside. People are as big of music fans as ever. It's just nothing that anybody in this room listens to, but
yeah.
All the shit going on at Coachella and Stagecoach, I mean, you know, fucking huge crowds and they're way into it, you know, Billie Eilish or whatever, you know.
But is there any good mood music, though?
You know.
It must be something.
Ed Sheeran's putting out stuff.
Yeah.
The chicks him, like.
That's true.
Know?
He's probably one of the top artist putting that kind of stuff out right now. Yeah, I would assume.
I've got no idea what's going on.
I don't either, but
it feels weird. to have no idea what's going on.
No. Not really. Weird? I think it's been a long time for me that I don't know what's happening. So
it's okay now.
I'm all right.
That's good. All right. Well, if you disagree with us, your name is Lee Travis.
Yeah, that's not a little disappointing. Line, but hey,
we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Well, why don't we take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with everyone's favorite segment, seasonal jokes.
The jokes come out at night, and it's ladies' night. The jokes come out at night, over the night.
The jokes come out at night.
All right, Nick, what do we got here? We're mixing it up a little bit.
Oh, this is the beat now?
This is what's happening, yeah.
Okay. I was waiting for it to kick into the other one. Okay.
Oh, no.
What's going on here? My daughter predicted Earth Day. Looks like she was wrong.
She was wrong. For no... Is it seasonal?
there's something going on. I pulled it up.
Okay.
We talked about this briefly. But.
Well, it started with... I had said, hey, I have a couple of jokes that are in the miscellaneous pile. And I had mentioned what the subject of one of them. And Chris said, hey, I think we should run with that subject this week. So.
And what's, you can say the subject.
Women's sports.
Got to make it timely. We've got women's golf conference championships are happening.
Everyone's talking about
it. Yep, everybody's talking about it. Major conference championship action continues into this week. And then we have women's tennis. We got the NCAA selection show for their tournament. So a lot of stuff going on in women's sports in the college realm. So it made sense.
Curious to see how you guys navigate this one.
So am I.
I don't have a lot of confidence in you.
Are you going to talk?
I wouldn't either.
Which is precisely why we enlisted some help for this section. Do you want to get into that, Nick?
Sure. We've got, if I'm not mistaken, about 6 contributions from female listeners.
Oh.
Yep.
Good you.
I've got 4 here. I had 4, but it's now down to 3 because of the reaction to tonight's song. So,
someone's been booted.
Someone's been booted.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I've got 2 contributions, and I've got a couple of my own.
I do have a couple of my own, but I think we should lead with the much better, at least the contributions I got from outside of our circle are way better than what I came up with. But
Mine are is, to give you an idea, as good as they normally are. Every week.
Well, there you go. All right.
All right.
How many you got?
I've got ones that were contributed. I've got 2.
All right. I'm going to do all 4 of mine. Just kidding about the booted part, but... So should I go first?
Sure.
All right. This is the one that should be booted, but it's not. It comes from our friend Lee Travis. What have they named the new event in women's pole vaulting where you don't need the pole? What have they named the new event in women's pole vaulting where you don't need the pole?
I don't know. I think I kind of get where it's going, but I don't have an answer.
Here's the answer. The Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, boy.
I don't fucking deserve this shit.
Going right for it.
Right
for it.
Next, what do we got?
I've got one submitted by Jackie.
Hey.
Jackie's listening right now. Hope I do it justice for you, Jackie. Jackie wants us to try to figure out why did the gymnast take up bowling? Why did the gymnast take up bowling?
I don't know.
Because executing impossible splits was her specialty.
To release the fucking fury!
Very nice one.
Oh, that's a good one. All right, my turn.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, this one comes from our friend Krista Schneider.
Wow.
What is Megan Rapinoe's hip-hop alter ego?
Is there a funny setup? I don't know.
Megan Rapinoe, soccer player, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad you said that because I didn't know.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that either. I had to look it up. Let me read that again. What is Megan Rapinoe's hip-hop alter ego?
No idea.
Andy?
I'm assuming it has something to do with the first three letters of her last name, but I don't know what it is.
Oh, well, okay.
You're on the right track. Megan Rapinoe.
This guy's such a big man over here.
Next we're going...
These jokes are right in line with what we usually do. They are. I love it. Perfect.
Next one's from our dear friend... Miss Georgia Lunch. What race car driver has a famous vehicle named Pretzel Logic?
I don't know what that even means.
What race car driver has a famous vehicle named Pretzel Logic?
I don't know.
That would be none other than Steely Danica Patrick.
Yo, kill me with this!
Yeah, I knew it had something to do with Steely Dan, obviously, but I couldn't connect the dots there. That was a good one. All right, I got two more from the outside. This one comes from our friend Ellen T. I cannot pronounce her Greek last name. For all intents and purposes, her last name is Camarado, but this is from our friend Ellen. In women's tennis... What do you call the doubles player who stands in the middle of the court?
I don't know.
In women's tennis, what do you call the doubles player who stands in the middle of the court?
I don't know.
A net.
Oh, that's good.
These guys don't know anything and don't know shit.
That's a good one.
That says you, Ric Flair. Well, all right, and finally, from our good friend Colleen Houston. And this is a good one. They're all good, but this one's got a nice twist on it that I like. Although Megan Rapinoe, gotta love that one. Why are arguments with the officials in women's sports always so long? Why are arguments with the officials in women's sports always so long?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because it's not what the referee said, it's how he said it.
I don't go for that shit.
Very good submissions.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody. Absolutely. I've got three that I came up with.
I've got two, so let's start. We'll go back zigzagging back and forth.
This one I came up with, and I'm like, I had the concept, and I told my wife, and she's like, just go with that punchline. I'm like, really? Yeah. Okay. Why do women scream while hitting a tennis ball? Why do women scream while hitting a tennis ball?
I don't know.
Because they're always thinking about the Beatles.
The Jones guys are not having a night tonight.
Well, and then I thought, something with like Love Me Deuce. No, she said no. Just say the weird.
The Jones guys are having a night tonight.
She said no.
They?
Just keep it weird. I said okay.
All right. Yeah, I think she was right.
That's what she preferred. Yeah.
Always best to go with what the wife prefers. Yes. So. All right, keeping with the tennis theme. What did Martina Navratilova's wife yell at her in response to her constant nagging?
I don't know.
What did Martina Navratilova's wife yell at her in response to her constant nagging?
No idea.
Enough of your racket.
Boom! Uh-oh, we have a late submission.
What? Is this the last one?
No.
Oh.
I've got a couple still.
A couple more.
Our mom.
Oh, boy.
Just sent me one.
Oh, you gotta shoehorn this one, Ed.
She sent it 20 minutes ago, but I hadn't checked all my messages here.
All right.
Let's see here. Why was the bad softball team so hot? Why was the poorly performing softball team so hot?
I don't know.
No idea.
They didn't have any fans.
Ah! Are you insane?
Oh boy.
I almost didn't see my message there. Glad I found
that would have been not good if you ignored that. All right, what's another one?
I have two more. Yeah. Okay.
You do one, I do one, you close it out.
Why are there less organized sports teams for women than there are for men? Why are there less organized sports teams for women than there are for men?
Why is that?
Because women don't like showing up to games wearing the same color.
Hell yes! Shit!
What's the last one?
Oh, I've got
for
another
me,
one.
For me, he's got one more. He's okay. Got one more. All right, you guys remember Annika Sorenstam, the golfer?
I don't, but...
I don't either.
I'm okay, sorry. Well, she's a famous lady golfer. I think she's on the senior tour now, but yeah, I think she's in her 50s. But what did Annika Sorenstam call her husband during an argument when she started firing off personal insults?
Oh, okay. I'm really trying to figure this one out.
I've got no idea.
What did Annika Sorenstam call her husband during an argument when she started firing off personal insults?
No idea.
Nope, I don't know.
A putz.
Oh, man.
Bullshit!
Nick?
I'll close it out with a golf joke as well.
Yeah.
What should be the slogan for the LPGA, the Ladies Professional Golf Association? What should be their slogan?
Do they even have a slogan?
I don't know.
Currently?
I don't know, but what should it be?
Could be a number of things.
Well, I'm going with...
Hold on. They actually have a slogan.
They do.
Which is, it's terrible, but the current LPGA slogan and brand initiative is Drive On.
Yeah, that's
terrible.
Bad.
Okay. Somebody that's got bad. Paid to come up with that shit?
I hope not.
This Nick's idea has got to be better than that, so let's hear it.
My idea for the slogan for the LPGA, the fairer way sex.
That's it.
That's it.
It's going to do it. Wow.
It's a lot of jokes.
I'm actually pretty impressed how many people you got to contribute to this week's set of jokes. It's pretty good. That's cool that everybody got on board. It was a team effort.
It was.
Yeah. No, all those jokes were good.
And it all came together really in good, like a day or two.
Just thought of it a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well... thank you very much to everybody who participated. Thank you to everybody listening.
Oh, and then there's some low-level, well, maybe not even low-level, accusations of misogyny in the chat. Can it really be misogyny when the women listeners were piling on as well?
I think who said
good-natured
that?
Ribbing.
Who said that?
Fielding.
Oh, Nick's going to come to your house and talk to you. We get up early.
I don't see where that accusation holds any water. I don't know.
I thought that's where it was going based on the subject when you guys said it. And I,
well, that says more about the ear of the beholder.
You're right, and that's, I don't think that's where it went.
So. I got a message earlier. Mm-hmm. Dave Tomko submitted several jokes. Asked why aren't you asking me for a joke this week? I said, oh, because we're doing women's sports. And a lot of women are doing it. He went the same place, basically. Like, oh, it's going to be sexist. It's going to be. No, actually, I accused him of being a sexist.
Good, he is.
I actually told him. Andy said, I can't ask you anymore.
No, he's blackballed.
Well,
we don't want his voice on here. We don't want to amplify his voice.
My goodness. You too.
Yeah.
Well, if he wants to be a grown up, I'll be here when he's ready.
There's no guarantee that'll happen.
Boy.
Until then.
This has got to get resolved. Peace in the Middle West.
Well, we'll see. It's up to him. I'm here. So whenever he wants to sit down, break bread, and talk it out.
Well, we'll see. He probably won't. But
interesting feud going on.
It's been going on for decades.
Decades?
Yeah.
Wow.
Easily 25 years, maybe more. Many years.
Well, most sorry, Dave. Life. I can't ask you. Andy won't let me.
Yes. Andy runs all the equipment, so if he don't want you on the show, you ain't getting on the show. He's in the power seat here. Yep. That's just a fact.
Yeah. So.
If you're going to piss off one of the three of us, make it not be Andy if you want to have your voice heard on this program.
All right.
Bobby Root pissed me off tonight, but I can't do anything about it because I don't run any of the fucking controls over here.
You can't kick him out. You can't boot him.
Lee Travis, who I thought was a friend of mine, stabbed me in the back by pissing all over Easy Lover. Oh, I can't eradicate her from the chat because I don't run the controls.
Yep.
And to prove I'm the bigger person, I included her joke, which was a good one.
That was good. That was nice of you.
Yeah. That was a particularly fun one. Lots of good ones.
Yeah. So we might open it up in the future depending on the theme, but we'll see what happens.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you for listening. If you're not already a patron, patreon.com/potofthunder. Check it out. Hopefully there's a tier that you're interested in. You can join us live on Thursdays. That'd be wonderful. I think next week, are we doing our pre-show chat? Is that next week?
It is.
Yes. Yeah. So if you want to get in there, we do an hour-long chat before the episode starts Thursday evening, about 8 Central, whatever time that is where you are. You're going to love it. We're going to have a good time. Nick's going to do something. Nick's got a magic trick planned for you, so be ready for that.
Great. Now I have to do one.
Yep. And curiosities.com, 20% off with the code POTHEAD. Get yourself some candles. You smell terrible. Your house is... Everyone's talking about how bad your house smells. Solve it. Sort it out, you slug.
Yep.
There you go.
These candles last a long time. One thing, if this was a corporate company, they'd have figured out how to make these candles go by faster, so you had to buy them more often. Mm. You're not getting that with this small shop. You're getting quality. You're getting
staying
product there. That lasts. I mean, we still got the same lineup I got from the original shipment. I'm going to run them to the ground and hopefully we'll have enough orders that we can renew the contract, so to speak. But you get your money's worth. This shit lasts a long time.
There you go. That's what you need. A good deal. Good product. So there you go. Curiosities.com.
There's no shrinkflation going on. There's no built-in,
They're not doing. They're not pulling dynamic pricing on you.
Right. Okay. There's no boardroom meetings figuring out how to make these candles burn out quicker, so you have to buy them more often. There's none of that bullshit from this small shop run by good people. So patronize it.
Curiosities.
Yes.
Straight up, no bullshit. Right. All right. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Fresh fried potatoes, garlic mashed potatoes, loaded bean potato, all the waffle fries, all the rice.